why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's bigger than ever. Stronger than ever. Forever. Locky Logan. Yo Logan. Show Logan. Show. Yo and Rocky. We about to make Roppongi 3K. Transform and optimist are properly bigger than Gundam bodies. So stop the light. Show yo, they hit the room. The crowd blacked out. Can you feel the boom? Causing more chaos in the typhoon. Future fried wrestling served to you with a spoon. Roppongi 3K, 3K, 3K. Roppongi 3K, 3K, 3K. Roppongi 3000 is on the way. Rock your show and yo.
Hey yo.
And that crazy, not usual show opening, well, if you listened last week, you know what it means when the show opening is a bigger mishmash of sound bites than usual. That means it's time for the fourth ever edition of the Hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco such good shit show, pal. That's what this is. So this is the Hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show 4, pal. That's right. Episode 4, because Patrick O'Dowd's not here. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But first, if Patrick O'Dowd's not here, well, we know what that means. That means somebody else is here.
Viva la raza!
That means we are graced by the presence once again by the ring announcer to the stars, the sickly bird, the she's sitting somewhere under the weather, but a very important nickname. She is the queen of soft style. Hashtag Miranda, Miranda Morales. Welcome.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm barely here. Well, not barely.
Yeah.
I'm doing much better. But yeah, I've been sick for the past 3 days. Full-blown cold. I thought it was the flu for a second.
Yeah.
Because I had like the body aches, sweats, all that. My life flashing before my eyes, you know, all those things when you get really, really sick. But I've come over the edge. I'm on the other side of it. Still recovering, but much, much better.
Aw, Puddin.
Yep, but she's... Really? But you know what? She's still here.
Still here.
She's a goddamn trooper. Last week, she had company, and she was still here. This week, she's sick, and she's still here. Look, if Patrick had what you had, he wouldn't be on the show until February. And yet you're here this week. So that's you know what? That's just the difference between a man and a woman. Apparently.
That's also true.
You're the man in this case. You're the man in this case. You're the Becky Lynch in this scenario.
I'm the Becky Lynch of this, and Patrick is the Seth Rollins?
No. I think in this triple threat match, I'm Shayna Baszler, you're Becky Lynch, and he's Bayley. He's got the new haircut. That's what this is. But Patrick O'Dowd, by the way, at Wrestling Realist on Twitter, that's WrestlingRealist. I haven't looked at the follower accounts. We'll get back into that next week. He is at the World of Disney this week. He is
the
gallivanting.
The magical place in the world.
The happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
It is. It is a good excuse.
I want to be at Disney right now.
Yeah, me too.
I would rather be at Disney than here in my house being sick.
Me too.
So
I'd rather be at Disney than at your house being sick as well. It's just no fun. But, so that brings me to a revelation that I want to make about Disney as Patrick O'Dowd. First of all, last week Patrick O'Dowd wasn't here because we started too late, and so he had to go night-night. This week it was a planned, yes, go to sleep. He had to CM Punk finisher that Patrick hates CM Punk, so... So this week was planned. Like, we knew ahead of time that he wasn't going to be here this week. And part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because we had a guest planned for this week, and that guest had to move the next week. The history of this. That's why I never. I've learned about advertising guests. Oh, yeah. I used to advertise guests all the time, and then it wouldn't happen. So especially when we did the show live, that was the worst, because sometimes we wouldn't even know until we called the guest, and they just simply didn't answer. That was always fun, and then I'd never heard from them again. I'm looking at you, Truth Martini.
Wow, ghosted.
Yeah, totally
ghosted. Were you ghosted before ghosted became a thing?
I was ghosted before ghosts. I don't know. Yes. Yes, I was, but that's okay.
There you go.
Because now, it's a different time, different era. Now, when we have to change things, we just invoke the wild card rule.
Wild card, bitches!
But the reason why I want to talk about this, and then it'll be enough about Patrick. Actually, it won't be. There'll be another thing about Patrick that I want to talk about. He's at Disney World.
Patrick.
We do. He's the original best friend. That's on this program. Sorry, that made me laugh. He's at Disney World. And so I want to reveal to everyone. So there's been some revelations about me on this show over the past couple years. I think you've been here for all three of these. Obviously, you were here when Patrick said my last name on the air, my real last name on the air. That was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't edit it out either.
No, I know. I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't know until months later.
I didn't really know.
Yeah, you didn't learn until months later. I don't know, whatever. You learned it eventually. And the other thing, I don't know if you were here for it or not, but my second favorite movie of all time was revealed on this show. And it's not one that I'm proud of. it's one that people made fun of me for when they heard it. And judging by the look on your face, you weren't here for it. So now you're going to know. My second favorite movie of all time, which is appropriate for this time of year, is Serendipity.
I was there. Okay, I thought that was your first favorite.
No, favorite movie of all time is Ocean's 11. Second favorite movie of all time is Serendipity. Okay. I am... Yeah. Probably a lot of fun to watch Serendipity with, because I'm yelling at the TV. Like, most people yell at TV during sports, during wrestling. I'm yelling at the TV during Serendipity. I'm like, no, John Cusack, go back in and get Kate Beckinsale. I don't care that the phone number blew away and she said it was fate. You go get her. The wedding was canceled. Go find her. Like, that's me during Serendipity. By the way, spoiler alert, the wedding gets canceled. So yeah, dude, it's the movie's 15 years old. Yeah, come on.
The movie's out, and the fact that it's the same movie every time you watch it and you still yell at the TV, is that every time you watch it?
Goddamn right. Sure. I mean, that's what's fun. Right. That's why. Okay, when I was in grad school, I used to watch Ocean's 11 every single one. I used to work a half day every Wednesday, and I would walk to the mailbox and get the mail in downtown Tempe, and then I would walk back to the apartment, and then I would watch Ocean's 11. And I would quote everything. Miranda's coughing, by the way. Just want to let you guys know. She muted. I'm going to give commentary whenever Miranda mutes and coughs. I'm going to let everybody know.
Well, I'm trying to be respectful and not, cough over you.
We should make it like Brock Lesnar and... We should make it like Brock Lesnar and the German suplexes. So that was two, even though it was a nose blow. That was two. Anytime sickness comes into play, we're gonna count this week and see.
Fine.
So that's number two. You can still mute yourself because I can still see it when it happens.
Okay, that's fine. No, so anyway. I'm not gonna mute myself because you're gonna do commentary over it anyway. So
might as well make it a thing. We've already been doing this for 9 minutes and we've talked about I don't even know what, but.
Nothing related to wrestling.
We'll get there. We had a guest cancel. It's a shit show. We're living up to the name. It's like we like to say privately. The show can't go off the rails when there are no rails. That's what we like to say about these programs. Anyway, my revelation. Yes.
Watch Ocean's 11 every Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I used to. Yeah, a long time ago. Serendipity is my second favorite movie. But the newest revelation number three.
Okay.
My favorite ride in the whole entire world. Now, remember, these are somewhat embarrassing revelations. Real last name, second favorite movie of all time is Serendipity. My favorite ride in the whole entire world. Like, I am like a three-year-old when I get on this ride. And when I go there again, I will be a three-year-old again. And here it is. Seriously, I'm in my happy place right now.
Seriously. Like, no,
I love this ride.
I see it. Like, for those of you who are not seeing it, Greg is just, you know, smiling, bobbing his head up and down. Like, he's
I know every word. I know. Yeah, this is, it's, I'm in heaven when I'm riding this ride. No one else likes it. My entire family.
No, yeah, no.
And I make them go.
I don't know anybody who, like, purposely likes It's a Small World.
But yet there's a line. So, obviously...
Well, there's a line at every ride at Disneyland. You're in Disneyland. Let me make one thing. That's the amount of people who are there.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear right now. If you and I are ever at Disneyland, you are riding this ride. And...
I don't...
No, you... Yes, yes, you will... Yes. And it will be...
I have never ridden It's a Small World. I have never. And that's one, like, it kind of freaks me out. Like the,
oh yeah, that's part of the thing. Yeah, like, the animatronics really are the creepy. Best. Like, literally, I'm going through this
and
thing,
just and the repetitive loop, like, do the same
give
song
me,
over and over.
Give
again,
me, it's a small world. Give me, it's a small world full of animatronics and a bucket of softballs, and I will have a blast taking out as many dolls as I can. But that, okay. So here's the you want to do something really creepy. This happened once on It's a Small World.
Oh, so now we're getting to the creepy part. Okay.
Yes. So I was on It's a Small World with I believe my son. And halfway through, it stops, right? Because, you know, somebody, you know, whatever. Sometimes rides malfunction, it stops. Then the music stops. So the music stops, but the animatronics kept going. So there's no music. It's really quiet. The boat's not moving. And all you have is... I know people can't see what I'm doing, but they can hear me making the noise. And so, yeah, it was just the craziest thing.
Being animatronic, so just movement with no
just
sound.
Just movement with no sound. And but at that point, you can hear just the electronics moving around. Just, it was really, yes, very interesting right now. So now I'm listening. I've, like, never heard this portion of the song. So we'll go ahead and mute that right there. So, yep, It's a Small World. I ride it every single time. And wow. You better hope you and I are never in Disneyland, because you will ride it.
Yeah, no, because I don't want to. I don't want to ride it. I'm not interested in it. I thought when you were going to say something about it being really, really creepy, that, like, the eyes of all the animatronics started to light up red, and it was so dark, and you could just see their
faces.
That
would be amazing.
Super, super creepy.
That would be fantastic.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's the thing, though. Out of all the rides at Disneyland, that one would not surprise me, you know, if the animatronics, like, just went haywire and, you know, I don't know, like, had red eyes and you know, malfunction, whatever it is. Like, yeah. So it's
happiest,
number one.
Happiest ride on Earth. That's what it's called. Happiest ride on Earth. And
creepiest ride, but
maybe, but also the happiest.
Their own. You know, granted, my favorite ride, and it started off with some of the older animatronics, is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh yeah,
like hands down,
that's a good one.
My favorite, love it. I'll ride it all day. It's a great
if
ride.
not for It's a Small World, that would be up there. Just saying
doesn't matter, still creepy as hell. You do you, though. You get on your creepy ride. You enjoy it. You pay your money, all that money to get to Disney World or Disneyland, and ride your creepy little ass ride.
I'm never going to get over these things. All right, so we've had that revelation. So the other Patrick O'Dowd-related revelation, as people know, by the way, you can find me on social media at ChairShotGreg, although you won't find me there, but I do check in. And I checked in the other day, and one of you, either you or Patrick, had shared the 1 year anniversary of you becoming friends on Facebook. And
yes, Patrick shared that.
Patrick shared that. Okay. Yeah. So the exciting thing about that, because that actually meant it was the 1 year anniversary of the first time all three of us did a podcast together.
Yes.
Which means this should be the 1 year anniversary of all three of us doing a podcast together, but Patrick O'Dowd was too busy to be a part of it. So, yeah.
Because he's at Disney World.
I know.
Like, look.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to...
Okay.
To the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more days.
I came to...
Okay.
Get my toothpaste. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
I came to...
Okay.
So it would have been the 1 year anniversary, and it still technically is the 1 year anniversary. It's not the 1 year anniversary of you appearing, because I think you did one or two before that. I think it went like me and you, me and Patrick, me and you, and then all three. I think I had finally were like, and then after that time, I was like, hey, I might just keep her around. And Patrick was like, oh, all right, well, you know. And then he played the whole trying to do my job and all that stuff. And then went to the Royal Rumble, and he was like, oh, geez, don't need me.
You know, the fact that he shared that on social media means that I think he's warmed up to me.
It took after a year.
After
a year.
I have that effect on people.
I guess
surprisingly, this is not the first nor the last time I have warmed up to the people to the point where they're like, okay, now we're cool. Now we're friends. to my very best friend, the equivalent to my Patrick O'Dowd, the first time we met, she did not like me. She did not like me for a while. We were working together and I was new. She had to train me. She is the type of person where, like, if you don't know what you're doing, like, she has no patience for you. So the first few interactions we had, I could tell she, like, did not like me. But after some time, she warmed up to me. We hung out multiple times. And 10 years later, she's my best friend. So
there you go.
Yeah. So I have that effect on people.
Apparently.
Especially you out in the podcasting world. It may take a long time to warm up to me, but eventually you'll warm up to me.
Eventually. It'll happen. Yes, some happen quicker than others.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
All right. So we've had an opportunity to talk about Patrick O'Dowd a couple times. 1 year anniversary, he ain't here for it, so it doesn't matter anyway. Earlier today, well, first of all, as you guys know, this show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can hear on
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I think it's appropriate for you to tell people where they can maybe support the website, maybe make a purchase or two. And you just do the normal thing first, and then
the
maybe we'll get into the special thing.
Yes. So if you want to support thechairshot.com, you can buy a t-shirt from prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There you can find a plethora of t-shirts, all available in the style of soft style. Do yourself a favor. You know, it's the holiday season. Treat yourself. Treat those you care about. Show them that you're thinking of them by ordering a soft style t-shirt. But there's a lot available. Of course, the OG chair shot t-shirt. Baron Corbin sucks because he still sucks. Jesus did the job. Hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling. A whole variety of t-shirts available on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Yes, and hopefully by this time next week, probably before then, there's going to be a new design available. And if I had the power to, I would only allow them to sell this design in the style of soft, and they really only should sell this design in the style of soft. So we haven't planned who's gonna. So do you want to tell the people what design will be available over at prowrestlingtees.com by this time next week?
I'm in shock. Wait, because
did you not realize?
No, I didn't realize that this was going to be official.
Of course it's going to be official. You're finding out right now? I figured you realized. I had this made, obviously.
I saw the design. Yes, but I didn't think it was actually going to be made into a shirt.
This is fantastic. This is great podcasting right here.
This is great. Oh my gosh. Woo. Hold on,
Let's give you a moment.
I'm going.
Do you mean to stall some more? I can stall some more.
No. So, let me do this? You told me to do it, and now you're not going to let me do it.
You needed a minute!
What a surprise. That we will have an official Queen of Soft Style shirt available on ProWrestlingTees.com. It's a dream come true, everyone. I mean, it's a dream come true. This is crazy to actually have a shirt on online. Like, it's crazy cool. I'm excited.
This is the best. I'm excited for you.
I'm gonna buy all the t-shirts and give them to everyone, and they're gonna be like, "Who the hell is hashtag Miranda?" And that's going to be a different conversation for a different day for most of them. But I'm going to buy all of them. No, but you should buy some too. You should buy some too.
Yes, people definitely should.
You're welcome.
So I told you earlier that something was going to come along with this. So now there was a reveal that was involved that you, the listener, don't get to hear. Sorry. You don't get to learn about the reveal. We pull the curtain back. And we pull the curtain way back on this show. But even when we pull the curtain way back, there's still some stuff behind the curtain you don't get to see. There's fucking a lot of stuff behind the curtain, let's be honest. So you have a t-shirt design now. It's going to be available on ProWrestlingTees.com. Did a big reveal earlier today. How would you rate this t-shirt design?
This t-shirt design? Yes. Look, I'm not trying to be too subjective or anything, but it's like a 12 out of 10. I mean, okay. It's like the best design ever.
So let's just... Let me see if I can ease my way into where I'm trying to go here. There's a certain phenomenon that's reaching across social media, the world of streaming, maybe thanks to the all-new Disney Plus and a show called The Mandalorian. There's a certain character that everybody, including Miranda Morales, has fallen in love with. Little guy, likes to use the Force. What? Who am I talking about?
It's Baby Yoda.
That's right. So.
And part of this conversation started, and I don't know if it was actually recorded a few weeks ago, but I mentioned Baby Yoda. Patrick came in telling me why he's not technically a Baby Yoda.
We don't care.
All that kind of stuff. Don't care.
He's Baby Yoda.
I don't care. I just love Baby Yoda. He's so cute. And every week, he just gets cuter and cuter and cuter. I mean, it was the most adorable thing.
Yesterday, okay. I set this up and I said, when this comes through, it's going to be better than Baby Yoda. And you said I was crazy. I need to know. Yeah. You can either say no or you can say those four beautiful words that I want to know. How this compares to one 50-year-old Baby Yoda.
This t-shirt is way better than Baby Yoda.
Yeah, I don't even have a yes soundbite or anything. I need a celebratory soundbite. I don't even think I have a celebratory soundbite.
Watch out for Keith.
That's not really a good... Oh, of course I would. Okay, say it again. Just say the four words.
Better than Baby Yoda.
This is my yard now.
All right, so that design will be available by this time next week, probably before then, over at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshirt. Pick up your very own Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. Now, I do need to share. So first of all, have you shared that on social media at all?
I have not.
Okay,
no,
don't yet.
I haven't shared it at all.
Wait till the show comes out tomorrow. It's Tuesday night. We record this show. Comes out tomorrow on Wednesday. The designer, gentleman by the name of Gregory Holmes Jr., friend of mine, I've done stuff with him going back to 2016, so 3 years, not that long ago, but he's going to be doing some more stuff. He's actually going to help out with some things on the IZW end. He did the design, and I encourage everyone.
Thank you, Gregory.
And he'll listen. He'll hear this, and he'll listen to it. You can follow him on the Instagram at Art by Greg Jr. That's A-R-T by G-R-E-G-J-R. No relation. First names don't usually mean you're related. So And he'll share it as well, but I asked him to wait until after the show comes out. So yeah, there you go. Congratulations. You have
your very own t-shirt.
And I told you a while ago that we were going to make a t-shirt, and then it got back burned.
We did, but it was just kind of like, oh yeah, you know, half jokingly, like, sure, you know, like it. I didn't really think about it until you sent me this design today, and I thought it was just that, it was a design. I didn't think it was actually gonna go like to a t-shirt until you just said it right now,
which
was
great.
This is like an exclusive to even the person whose t-shirt this is, so everyone's getting the same information at the same time.
Yeah, to get your like initial reaction was oh, that's number five. To get your initial reaction was
sick.
Perfect. No, it's okay. We know you're sick, and you're here, and you're trooping it up. And look, we are 27 minutes into the program, so that's why it's the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco Super Such Good Shit Show for Pal. That's
Pal.
That's where we are. Yes.
Woo.
Oh, there you look at you.
That's the only horseman. Way you hold up a four. If you don't know the way I'm holding up the four. Then what are you doing?
No one knows.
You even
way.
Know. No one knows.
But they do. Everyone they all know.
Yes.
It's like
if this
it's like
is
when
a
you did
podcast. There's only one way to hold up a four.
It's like when you did the "You Can't See Me," and I said "We Can See You," and everybody immediately knew what you were doing when that
some
happened.
Things in wrestling,
just like
universal
the four. We still need to watch. We need to watch along of one of the super old NWA episodes on WWE Network. Well, that's later for that stuff. All right, let's actually do some wrestling stuff if I can find what I need.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You gonna do the buzzer? By the way, that was number 6. And that was so perfect. Like, I mean, I felt terrible because I made you the buzzer and then you coughed at the end of it. And I was celebrating. And that happened. I'm a horrible friend. Yep. Yeah.
I can't laugh. And then I cough.
This is such good radio. It's amazing.
It's such great. We're such professionals, everyone.
100%. This is how you get nominated for stuff right here. This is mm-hmm. apparently why the show is a comedy. Because that's...
Because we're a joke!
I'm not even going to dispute that at this point.
No, yeah. I mean, you can't make fun of us if we make fun of us first.
Exactly. If you can't laugh, what can you do? That's how we do it.
But that was, you know, it was... Party. hadn't heard that song in a minute.
It's a good song. A
long time. Good song.
It's a really good song.
Boom, boom, boom.
You know.
See what it sounds like later in the song. Let's go. This is the verse you never hear, because it's a minute 50 into the song. That's the same. Of course it is. All right. So the reason why Kofi Kingston was the theme song of the week, and we don't need a reason for the theme song of the week, but this week we do have one, is today, Tuesday, when this show is being recorded. The next day is, of course, Wednesday when you're listening, marks 1,000 days that Kofi Kingston has held a WWE Tag Team Championship. Now, he had already passed Billy Gunn at like 953 days or something like that a couple months ago. But now Kofi has surpassed 1,000 days combined as a WWE Tag Team Champion as part of his illustrious career. And of course, this year at WrestleMania, Kofi Kingston became WWE Champion, which is something I think even a year ago none of us ever thought was going to happen, and it did, and it was amazing, and now he's back in the tag team scene. And so here's my question for you. We'll let you go first, because there's no Patrick. He's riding at Small World. And because what else would you do in Disney World? But what, by time all is said and done, by time Kofi's done, Kofi retires, how is he going to be remembered? Is he going to be a tag team guy? How are we going to remember Kofi?
No, I don't think he's going to be known as just a tag team guy. I think he's going to be known as a really like versatile wrestler, one where he had a successful run. Of course, I think primarily with the New Day, I think that's going to be where his legacy is really going to be held. But even before then, I mean, the years that he built up his career prior to that, and anything he does after, really. And so maybe he's not known for being a tag team guy. He may be known for being a group guy. Again, going back to the New Day. But I think that too, he's had a long career because of the fact that he has been a good singles wrestler and a good tag team wrestler. And he can really interweave between those really easily, in ways that actually other people, I don't know anyone else, honestly, on the roster who's been able to weave in and out of singles competition and tag team competition. And I think it's because just his athleticism is phenomenal. And the fact that he's been able to keep it up for this long is a true testament to his talent and his skill and his ability to take care of himself as best as he can. But also, I mean, he's been in a lot of random tag teams over the years, and he is the type of person that you can kind of plug and play, and he just seems to adapt to his environment and his partners really, really well. And I think hopefully that's what he gets remembered for.
Yeah, I mean, so versatile, like you said, and such. So, I mean, let's take a look at the people who he has held tag titles with. He's held tag titles with Evan Bourne, with R-Truth, with Big E, with Xavier Woods, with CM Punk, and of course now with Big E and Xavier Woods again. He's won a tag team championship tournament. He's, you know, just won all kinds of accolades. Plus he's, you know, one-time WWE champion, four-time Intercontinental, three-time United States. Like, he's held them all. And he has just had an amazing career in WWE. I hate to go there, but you have to. And I think, and it's historic for a big reason. It's going to come as no shock to anybody when I point out that Kofi's black. All right, Kofi's African American, and I kind of think, and is he like top three at this point of African-American wrestlers in WWE? I mean, you've got The Rock, which, you know, some people argue whether or not he's considered African-American. He claims it. Who am I to tell me not? You got Booker T, and who's, you know, five-time world champion. And I think you got Kofi Kingston. Like, I think he's top three at this point. I can't think of anybody else who would rank higher than Kofi at this point in history. And I don't even know if maybe you have to look at Booker T's accolades. I mean, Kofi might be at that Booker T level.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at, well, I think it depends, like, what you're looking at. If you're looking at career longevity, if you're looking at titles, if you're looking at more just like fan base or just, you know, how well known a wrestler is. I mean, of course, The Rock is the person. I mean, just in general, he is the most well known, and maybe not as many titles as I guess technically Kofi at this point with the tag team belts. But I mean, overall in other factors, yeah, I mean, The Rock is the one. But yeah, I could see what you mean by, you know, who's number two and three, and but I think ultimately it's what you're utilizing to compare them and to assess them, and I think though Kofi still has years to go and absolutely future Hall of Famer, like no doubt about it. So I think that's a good question as far as above Booker T, maybe not yet. But I think give it a little bit more time. And I think his legacy probably could surpass Booker T, just as, you know, again, someone who is well known, the time in the business, titles, all of that. I know Booker, I don't know how many tag titles he's won, but I mean, he's up there as well. And him and Stevie, I mean, they're, you know, one of the world's most famous tag teams ever in existence. And I could see, even though not necessarily a tag team, the New Day surpassing Harlem Heat as far as some of the, like, just world famous tag teams.
Harlem Heat, well, Booker T is a 14-time tag team champion from what I've been able to find. 10 of those with Stevie Ray's Harlem Heat and WCW. They were 10-time WCW tag team champions. Then he had four more runs in the WWE. One of those as a WCW tag team champion, but in WWE. And of course, you know, 5-time world champion. Well, 6-time technically. 5 times in WCW, including the time he won it in WWE, and then he won the World Heavyweight Championship, so 6-time world champion. He's definitely got more, you know, accolades, I guess, but the significance of Kofi is one that is always going to be there. You talked about obvious Hall of Famer, and I agree, like, Kofi is, you know, no-brainer, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Booker T went in the Hall of Fame twice, went in as a singles wrestler, and went in as a member of Harlem Heat, and that's happened before. Shawn Michaels has done it, Ric Flair has done it, multiple people have gone into the Hall of Fame multiple times. And I think you'll realize where I'm going with this question. Does Kofi go in twice?
That's a good question. And I think there's been a lot of conversation around this because of the fact that I think some fans have thought that WWE is running out of people to add into the Hall of Fame. With the amount of people that they add every year, the fact that they have an annual Hall of Fame, that, you know, things are getting a little thin. So I think that that's part of the conversation is, are these people being duly inducted just because they're running out of people? And I think there's a little bit of truth to that. The reason I start with that is that first, I think if anyone goes, or kind of the flow of Hall of Fame inductions, how would it go? I would imagine Kofi would go in first before New Day. And I don't know if it's another thing, just like in previous years, like we saw with DX and Heart Foundation and a few other factions, that would New Day, so more and more for Kofi and, or maybe more for Xavier and Big E, do they need the New Day to get into the Hall of Fame, whereas Kofi could go in individually and go in just fine? I think that that's probably how it would go. But that, going back to kind of the original question, I mean, I could see him go duly into the Hall of Fame, but probably first by himself. And if WWE gets to the point where they kind of need to bring in more people or are looking, you know, for factions to bring in, I would imagine the New Day being one of them. Absolutely. And then kind of that's where the dual induction happens. But that's still a long, long ways away. Long, long ways away.
It is.
And they still have a really healthy career in front of them. So I think that's too what's important is seeing the longevity of them as a trio. And also for Kofi's career, because the New Day really has done wonders for Kofi. And to see where he's come in the time that the New Day has existed. And it seems like for the longevity of how long they are going to exist, Kofi is going to continue to be successful, as long as with E and Xavier, but I think especially Kofi.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, and Kofi's 5 years older than E and Xavier. Seven. Seven. But, you know, then Big E and Xavier Woods are the same age. Kofi's 5 years older, so he'll probably end his career before they do, but you never know. They've made plenty of money, so maybe they'll choose to end it, hopefully, on their own terms. Kofi, well, and I don't have a problem with the dual inductions in the Hall of Fame, because look at the Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen, as an act, is iconic. And wrestling is one of those few things where you can... And you're inducting acts. You're inducting people, but you're inducting an act. So, number eight. And so I think that, you know, I was fine with Ric Flair being inducted and then the Horsemen being inducted. On this week's edition of Arn Anderson's podcast, he was asked if he would go in by himself. And Arn actually said he would turn it down because he would never be a Hall of Famer without the Four Horsemen. So that was his perspective on that. But like DX as a group is iconic, and that act can be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And I think New Day is definitely going to be at that level when all is said and done. But Kofi himself definitely deserves the induction. And here's the thing. Woods and Big E said they would never accept a singles run until Kofi became world champion. I bet they would never accept the Hall of Fame induction until Kofi went in individually as well. Absolutely.
And I can imagine it would be any other way. I would imagine Kofi going first and, you know, the New Day coming after.
I'm going to count that last one, too. That's nine. It was a throw clear, but normally I wouldn't count it, but this week we're going to count it. But yeah, I agree. Like, and I think Kofi absolutely deserves it. I think the act will deserve it. I hope that Xavier Woods and Big E each get the opportunity that Kofi's gotten, and maybe they can be Hall of Famers too, because they're both insanely talented, and I would love to see them have the opportunity to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. But yeah, Kofi Kingston, I agree with what you said earlier. I don't think he's going to be remembered as a tag team guy, but I think the versatility is really how he's going to be remembered. You used a great phrase there, plug and play. Like, that's what Kofi has been. Like, Kofi can do anything. And Kofi's got things we haven't talked about, like Kofi Kingston and the Royal Rumble. I mean, that's something that will be remembered for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
ever.
Yeah. I mean, you can just see a montage of that every year. And, you know, the fact that that's going to be a huge aspect of his Hall of Fame vignette, his promo. I mean, he really helped make that really popular. And he talked about, I mean, that wasn't something that he created. He took that from someone else and ran with it. And he made it really, really successful. And I think it's just because of the fact that he is a really versatile wrestler with his athleticism, but his creativity and his talent. I mean, that's a really interesting thing in pro wrestling, is that someone can try something and it maybe doesn't work or stick, but then when someone else does it, some magic happens. And he's a really good example of that.
Oh, it's true. It's 100% true. I mean, we were there at the 2019 Royal Rumble. When Kofi came out, nothing else mattered. We were just waiting for whatever Kofi. And if you look at Kofi's last few Royal Rumble appearances, it's been come out, do whatever Kofi's doing, and then get eliminated. Because what else does he need to do at that point? Like, unless he's going to win the damn thing, there's no reason to keep him in there, because once he does the Kofi spot, it's over. Nothing else he has to do. And that's what happened even with this one. Does the Kofi spot, and then he goes. So that's a huge part of Kofi Kingston's legacy. He's got so many different elements to his legacy, too. Yeah, no-brainer Hall of Famer. I do think he goes in twice. second time being with New Day as well, and absolutely deserving of that. And I think that it'll be something that we should celebrate. We should celebrate now. We should celebrate then. And he's got another piece of the history books. He is the longest, the individual who is the only individual to ever reign as a tag team champion in WWE for, when you listen to this, over 1,000 days. So hats off to Kofi Kingston there on that one.
Yeah, and at this point, I can't see that being beat because those tag titles are just flipping and flopping all over the place. I mean, that again, you know, who's going to be in the company for that long? I mean,
right?
I don't see this record being broken.
No, you're exactly right. You're 100% right, and I mean, yeah, nothing more to say about that, so we'll just make the awkward transition.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
On behalf of Miranda Morales' brand new t-shirt, which is soon to be available at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, Baron Corbin Sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
So, for the second week in a row, we find the ratings were delayed, and we didn't get the ratings till yesterday. NXT beats AEW in the ratings. Now, ratings, what I mean, it's, I'm so tired of the ratings conversation, but it's...
You're over the ratings conversation.
Been over it for so long, but yet it keeps coming back. But this is just interesting because even the reporting of this one talked about how badly the holidays affected the AEW rating. Would not have been said if NXT tanked in the ring. The holiday didn't affect NXT as poorly as it affected AEW, but no one seems to be pointing that out. The only concern I have with the ratings is it's a trend now. Like they have continued to go down, and NXT has risen a little bit, and this is the closest they've also been, because and Patrick sent me the screenshot of it where Meltzer's pointing out the demographic, the 18 to 49 demographic, which is the all-important demographic. Those two shows were closer in the demographic rating than they've ever been as well. If you're in AEW, if you're an AEW fan, who cares? But if you're in the company, like, am I wrong in thinking that there should at least be some concern about the fact that that they haven't been able to maintain ground or even build upon what they initially received?
No, I don't think it's completely out of the question. I think that when you are looking at any type of data, and in this case, you know, numbers and ratings, trying to see, you know, patterns, trying to see decreases in viewership, and trying to see, you know, is there a way to kind of stop the bleeding a little bit. You don't want to continue this viewership decline. And with the holidays, it is just a really notorious time where wrestling fans kind of check out. We see it all the time in WWE, in even just independent promotions in general. People shift their focus a bit to other things. So it is just a really hard time to keep viewership in general. And that's just my thoughts on it. But I think it's also, what can they do to kind of vamp up to 2020? And I think that is something that AEW has alluded to a little bit, is that they're trying to restart some of their programming, some of their match numbers, you know, every year it looks like.
Yeah, so the rankings of the records.
Yeah, the rankings, yeah. So if they can get people interested enough to 2020, maybe that's kind of where they at least float on up until then. But I think it is important for them to take a look at the numbers and seeing, you know, what they can do to kind of address it. But ultimately, this is just not a really good time of year to build viewership in general, unless you're like Hallmark and you just play Christmas movies 24/7, like that's
which gets watched in my household.
Exactly. So I don't know. I mean,
not by me.
Hallmark Channel like is doing great now. Everything else is going to suffer a little bit. That's just now, the way TV works now.
If Hallmark Channel were to show Serendipity, then they'd have a viewer in me. So That's
well, they already have viewership in your house. So
that's true. That's true.
That's all that matters.
That was like the biggest eye roll I've seen in a long time. I just want to point that out. It was a little blurry, but it's still a big eye roll.
Still there.
Clear as day, though, so that's what's important. I think it's cause for short-term concern, but it's you can't look at ratings in the short-term vacuum anymore. Like, it's what you can do over a 52-week period. That's why WWE is so sought after and gets paid so much money by networks, is because they can deliver over a 52-week period. Nobody else does that. No one else does that. The one observation that I made with Patrick as we were joking about Dave Meltzer was, I think, and AEW marketed themselves as an alternative. Alternative this, alternative that. And I kind of feel like NXT is out AEW to AEW. I think NXT is a bigger alternative to what we see on a weekly basis of Raw and SmackDown than even AEW is. And that's not a knock on AEW, because if you listen to Wednesday Night Wars, you'll know I enjoy both shows. But I think NXT has actually provided a bigger alternative. It's just my opinion. I think NXT is a bigger alternative.
Can you define, then, like, what do you mean by NXT has out AEW'd AEW?
Okay.
By being this alternative? Like, okay. Break that down a little bit, because I'm really interested in understanding this argument here.
Okay. No, it's a great question. So, and there's multiple parts to my answer. First off, AEW marketed themselves as the alternative. So when I talk about NXT out AEWing AEW, it's because I think they're a bigger alternative than AEW is, and AEW was supposed to be the alternative. So that's where I think they out AEW'd AEW. I still think AEW is an alternative to Raw and SmackDown, but I just think NXT is a bigger alternative to Raw and SmackDown. Like, you got Raw and SmackDown, and they're doing their thing, and it's the same product we've seen forever, and it's going to continue to be the same product until people stop watching, which they've proven, no matter what they say on social media, they're going to keep watching. Then you have AEW, which is like this mix of, it's basically WCW Nitro with modern day players, is what I most closely liken it to. And then, of course, it doesn't help when they're using old pay-per-view names and stuff like that. And then NXT is really like nothing we've seen on television before from WWE or WCW or that sort of thing. So to me, NXT is just a bigger alternative to Raw and SmackDown than AEW. AEW still an alternative, NXT just bigger alternative.
So were you framing NXT as more of a pure wrestling show than AEW?
I think there's pure wrestling elements to both. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, that's what I'm curious at kind of getting at, because I think that both have really, really good wrestling, which are automatically very different than Raw and SmackDown anyways. I do think that AEW has a little bit still more of that sports entertainment feel because of the segments and vignettes and things like that, and very much a WCW vibe. But if you're really just basing it on that, then yes, I can totally understand that argument. But both have, I think, similar wrestling in there as far as like both being wrestling driven shows.
Yeah.
I don't see the vignettes being something that drives AEW. I think it really just supports stories and supports matches, but both are wrestling driven, where I think we're on SmackDown are entertainment driven. The matches, the wrestling is a feature of it, but everything else drives it.
It was not to share too much private conversation, but I think I'm trying to remember, I'm not going to go back and look. I'm pretty sure you described the ending of Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio as very entertainment, is how you described it from Survivor Series. I think paraphrasing, but it was entertainment, and it was good entertainment too. I agree with you. They're more of a pure wrestling product. Both shows are, and they both have that element, and they finish their stories in the ring, and you're not seeing people get arrested for violating restraining orders or someone violating a restraining order and the other people getting arrested.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other people got arrested because they assaulted cops.
Yes.
follow the story.
Well, no, but Rusev has been arrested for violating the restraining order. Just not this past Monday on Raw.
Rusev got arrested, yes.
Yeah, Lana and Lashley got arrested.
Lana and Bobby Lashley
yes.
assaulted cops and beautiful mugshots. Can I say, stunning mugshots. Love it.
So it happens when they're done by a professional photographer and not the actual police unit. But I do agree. Both of them are wrestling products. I just think NXT has been able to frame their product in a way that's more different and more of an alternative. And there's no compare. Like you can compare AEW to WCW Nitro. It's not exactly the same, but they've opened themselves up to that comparison. NXT hasn't opened itself up to a comparison to anybody, in my opinion. I think at some point someone else will open themselves up to a comparison to NXT. And that's why I think it's a bigger alternative. To me, there's no comp for NXT. It's literally its own thing. It's a unique brand. And that's why I think it's the bigger alternative. And that's not to disparage AEW. I think what they've been able to accomplish is great. I think they've got some great stuff they can build upon. And I want them to be successful. It's better for the business if AEW is successful. It's also better for the business that NXT is successful, too. And is becoming a viable third brand in WWE. And I think the ratings will be fine. That's the thing. It's a short-term deal with the ratings. I mean, when AEW was beating NXT in the ratings, I was the guy who would keep pointing out, you can still watch NXT on the network. We don't know how many people are watching NXT on the network. NXT, when you factored in the network viewers, was probably beating AEW all along. It just people were watching it in a different way. Now people are tuning in sooner because NXT is that more exciting product. And there will be points where AEW wins again. It's not like they're gonna do, that it's over by any stretch of the imagination. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Well, and this is just very short-term information that we have. I mean, AEW's only been, running as a company less than a year. NXT, both brands have only been on TV for just a few months now. I'm interested to see a year from now what we see in viewing patterns and in ratings, because that's when you can start to predict things. That's when you can kind of start to really evaluate viewership and success. So I agree. This is very short term. Again, the time of year is not ideal, but I do think it's important for both companies just to continue to keep an eye on and to evaluate viewership. Because you can't sleep on it, especially this time of year. Fans are used to companies, WWE, kind of going on autopilot. So to show that there's still a level of commitment during the holiday season, maybe we'll get fans excited going into 2020. I remember, WWE, a long time ago, did used to have, big events happening at the end of the year to really help jumpstart the next year. So I'd love to see both companies do something that really helps put an exclamation mark on the end of the year and gets people excited and drawn into continuing to watch for the next year.
And I think they could. I have a feeling, especially as regular TV shows go on rerun format, I could see SmackDown really trying to do some kind of special episode towards the end of the year. I can see it for NXT as well. NXT doesn't really have to. They continue to blow things out. I want to point out something about NXT, and then I know you want to point out something about AEW. It's a little more on the fun side of things, so we can do that momentarily. But I love, and this is funny because last week I said who was better than Adam Cole, and you said Tommaso Ciampa, and I said... But I want to point out something about Tommaso Ciampa right now. I'm sure you've seen the video, and if not, I'd be shocked if you haven't seen the video because it's a woman doing amazing things. But when Jessica Carr was moved from NXT to SmackDown, Tommaso Ciampa was the one who made the announcement to the NXT audience, This has become Tommaso Ciampa's hill to die on, and I love it. He pointed out that she was making the lateral move from NXT to SmackDown. Just like when the OC showed up on NXT, he welcomed the OC to the main roster in NXT. And Tommaso Ciampa, in a recent interview, actually said he's told WWE if they move him to Raw or SmackDown, he will immediately retire because he doesn't want that schedule because of his injuries and family. And I look, I'm Adam Cole till the day I die. But NXT is my favorite show, and we've talked about this on this show. We've talked about this on Wednesday Night Wars with Brittany Nicole, which you can hear every Friday over at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your very own Queen of Soft Style t-shirt next week. But just want to get that in there.
Good plug.
Yeah, you know. We're professionals, remember? Professionals.
Such good shit.
God, that would have been the perfect time for you to have a cough right after I said we were professionals, but it's okay. You can't kayfabe the coughing. It's got to be real. It's got to be real on this show. But I love the fact that Tommaso Ciampa is basically deemed himself the champion for NXT. It just is amazing. Like when he said he would retire if they tried to move him to Raw or SmackDown, just made my heart warm, and because I love NXT so much. So go NXT, Team NXT. But you a little fun anecdote from this week's edition of AEW, and feeling I'm going to learn something from this anecdote.
Yes. So speaking about sports entertainment, being entertained, I really loved the opening segment of AEW Dynamite last week with Chris Jericho's Thanksgiving celebration for the champion. Because, you know, I love that. I love that shit.
You're very sports entertained.
I'm so sports entertained. It's not even funny. But that whole segment was, you know, the way that it started with all of the, you know, gifts in the ring, the bands, the inflatable things. Like, I mean, you know, we're already having a good start. And then
whenever there's inflatables involved, I mean, come on. Like,
I mean, come on. Mark here. Inflatable Mark here. It started off with Chris Jericho in the ring saying, you know, finally he's getting his thank you, not from the fans of Chicago, but by the Inner Circle. So then you have the members of the Inner Circle come out, Sammy Guevara, Ortiz,
Santana. 10. I wish I had a Ty Dillinger soundbite for that. Oh, no. Miranda's feet froze. Oh, she's back.
No, it didn't freeze.
I was like, no!
Just me coughing.
No, don't.
They all came out to provide Jericho with some gifts to show them that they were thankful for him and being part of the Inner Circle. Santana and Ortiz, I mean, look, Sammy Guevara's gift, pretty funny. The cutout of him and Jericho. Memes all over the place. I could totally appreciate that. Congratulations. But what got to me is the Boricua gift basket from Santana and Ortiz. As soon as I saw this, yo, like this warmed my heart, especially in Thanksgiving. I spent time with my Puerto Rican family this Thanksgiving and just went around showing them the contents of this gift basket, saying, you know, do you see this? Is this not true? I mean, look, I get in professional wrestling, stereotyping is a delicate thing. Most of the time when culture is included in professional wrestling, it can be very tricky to navigate, and it could be, you know, sometimes culturally insensitive. Especially Puerto Rican culture has not always had the best reflection, especially on WWE TV. So I thought the way that Santana Ortiz approached this in the segment was like beautiful. I just, as a native Puerto Rican, the contents in their gift basket is 100% legit. Like, there are things in this basket that I have in my kitchen that said, yes, I do.
This is amazing.
So I sent a screenshot to Greg of Ortiz's. Well, both had them on their Instagrams. But I think it was a screenshot of Ortiz's Instagram. And so in this Boricua gift basket, they presented these items to Chris Jericho and made him an honorary Puerto Rican, which, I mean, they have the right to do that. Like, you know.
Is that how it works? You can be Puerto Rican, like you're knighted, you can be Puerto Rican by Puerto Ricans.
I mean, yes. Especially, I mean, by those two guys, yeah. I mean, multiples help, but, I mean, they even bestowed him, you know, a nice, like, flag bandana, and that's pretty much how you do it. I mean, it's a little known secret, but I wanted to share some of the contents of this basket with Greg to kind of give an understanding of Puerto Rican culture and why this is a true Boricua gift basket, and why people should expect Puerto Rican gift baskets this holiday season. They're going to blow up, everyone. They're going to blow up. Now, they didn't go over all the contents of the gift basket. Just some of them, but starting off with the introduction of the Vicks Vapor Rub. They didn't call it by name because of, you know, naming reasons.
I'm kind of sad that they had to black out so many things, because I don't think you'd get in trouble. Like, they didn't pay for it, but I don't know. Who knows?
Well, also and I don't know, maybe this is also happens in other cultures, but in Spanish culture, the item ends up taking over the name. And what I mean by that is that Vicks is Vicks no matter what. Even if it's an off-brand vapor rub, it's Vicks. So I don't know if, you know, the people at Vicks, if they found that out, like, you put it on TV, they're going to want that money. So I get it why it was all crossed off, but yes. So Vicks Vapor Rub is the magical one-all solution to cure any sickness in Spanish culture. And
11.
And it's stuff that I've had to use. I for sure have Vicks Vapor Rub because it has saved my life over the past few days. Also in there, of course, you have the chancletas or the chanclas. And those are just sandals, flip-flops. But as appropriately stated, they are a weapon. They are the original foreign object. These are things that your mom would, if you mess up, if you act up, they are aerodynamic enough where they will fly across the room. It's easy to take off. They will hit you. I've gotten hit with the chancleta more than I care to admit. But yes, you can use it as a weapon. Culturally, we have to be delicate. But if I don't see some chanclas in an AEW ring anytime soon, this is going to be a wasted opportunity. Wasted opportunity, okay? Please.
We'll have to monitor. We'll have to monitor Wednesday night's episode and see if they come through for you.
We have to see. I mean, because it is a weapon. Ya tú sabes, like, you know, anyone who has a Spanish mom, grandmother, aunt, especially is the female, like, that's their weapon of choice, you know. Of course, alternatives are like a belt. You know, some people use branches. Not really. It's the chancla, the OG of, you know, original foreign object. And then you have, of course, the seasonings. I'm looking at the pictures. I'm describing this. You have the sazon and the adobo. These are essential Puerto Rican seasonings used for marinade food, meat, rice. And those legit I have in my pantry right now.
Which is funny since you don't cook. So it's really funny that you have it in your pantry.
That's the thing. I've just had it in my life.
So they've probably expired and shouldn't be used anyway.
In the minimal cooking that I do, I use both of those items. Okay. And then you have Café Bustelo, which is the Latin espresso, really ground coffee. My family uses another version. It's called Café La Llave, which is just a different brand, but espresso, like real dark espresso coffee. Of course, Domino's. That's just the cultural way to pass time. And then you have the guiro, which is actually an instrument. It's a hollowed out gourd with lines kind of ingrained in it. And you use kind of a metal brush, a metal stick to run it up against the gourd. And you use it as a way to kind of make sound. It's an instrument. And it's just a staple in Puerto Rican music and Puerto Rican culture. So good on them. And then of course you have the picture of Hector Lavoe, a very famous Puerto Rican musician, from the 70s and 80s. Also New Eurekan, which is again, a slightly different version of Puerto Rican culture. I'm a West Coast kid. So some of this, I wasn't so exposed to, but I mean, literally I just took this picture around to my family and being like, this is, I mean, come on, this is hilarious, right? And they all laughed. It was hilarious. So good on AEW for this. This is, I think it's a funny way to incorporate culture. It wasn't something that I took offense to it. It was something that I laughed at. And, you know, again, we live in a time where anytime you incorporate culture, it can be very, very tricky. And you want to be sensitive to it. But also, you know, ultimately, there's aspects of culture that are really funny because it's true. And all of the things in this basket, like, yes, 100%, I agree with. I mean, you do have the 40. I mean, I think every culture has a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's, isn't it? You know, it's all good. But also, again, this is more, I think Excalibur had stated it perfectly, that they had collected this all at their local bodega, which are, these are all things that I'm sure you can find a bodega in New York City. So there's a rundown, everyone, of your 40 gift basket. Here to tell you that these are all authentic Boricua items. And, you know, maybe for some of your friends out there, you'll get your own little Boricua gift basket this Christmas, you know. Be a part of the family. Ya tú sabes. Huepa.
Wild card, bitches!
Okay, now, is that two separate ones? Is that 12 and 13?
No, that was just one.
Or is that just 12? Okay, just 12. See, I was waiting. It's because you hit number 10 earlier.
10.
But there's not like a 12. So, yeah, I'm just gonna stick with it.
It's all good. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you got to make do with what you have, you know? And that's what
we'll make the best of it.
Exactly. That's all we can really do. Oh, that was really educational. That was really exciting. That was, I learned so much. That's all I can say. I'm
glad we took some time to educate our listeners, you know, get a little understanding of a different culture.
Yeah.
You learn something new.
Only on the shit show can you learn. Actually, if we had two shows, you would have learned it on the Hashtag Miranda Show. But this is a combination of the two shows, so it does make perfect sense. Man, not much else left to do.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
So, some fun things coming up, of course. By this time next week, you will be able to purchase your very own Queen of Soft Style t-shirt over at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. A couple weeks ago, we did the Wrestling Game Show with Miranda Morales and Patrick O'Dowd. And a lot of people have been asking, when will there be another edition of the Wrestling Game Show? And I don't know if there will be another one before the end of 2019. You never know. I might just get a bug in my ear and do one again. But I can tell you that we are working on the Wrestling Game Show as its own show.
What?
As part of the Chairshot Radio Network. PC Tunney. I know. We haven't played that one in like forever. We are working on getting the Wrestling Game Show as its own show on the Chair Shot Radio Network. And PC Tunney and I. And PC Tunney and I are the ones that came up with Pot is War, which, of course, nominated for Trio of the Year with Christopher Platt, Andrew Blaz, and, of course, PC Tunney as the moderator. We came up with that show, geez, almost 2 years ago now, when we developed the idea for that one and put that one together. And now we're going to come together and we're going to actually develop the Wrestling Game Show. This random idea that I had for one episode of the Greg DeMarco Show is now... it's not official, but it's going to happen. It's going to become its own show, and we are going to somehow do the Wrestling Game Show as part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, because how can we not? Like, people loved the game show.
It's also been known where, I think I've been seeing it online, it's wrestling has taken over Jeopardy. There was, I think, several, days where there were wrestling related questions on Jeopardy.
Now,
I know if you made it on Jeopardy, you made it big.
Now, here's the thing. There were wrestling related questions on Jeopardy right after we did the Wrestling Game Show. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I've been harping on Shayna Baszler for a long time. Suddenly she's in the main event of a WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view. You know, I'm just going to throw those things out there. Like, I was on podcasts talking about the benefits of one Jinder Mahal, and within like 2 months he becomes WWE champion. I'm not saying that I had anything to do with it, but I was the only person.
You're not saying.
I'm not. That you had anything not to do saying. Insert dancing dog gif here. I don't have one, but Miranda will take care of that for us. Y'all can't see it because it's an audio show. I didn't even cut it off. You can't cut off Jinder Mahal's music. Like, you just can't. It's just not something.
Because Greg can never hinder Jinder. Not even his music.
Never. Jinder unhindered. Always. 13, everybody. 13.
Lucky number 13.
So, you got stuff coming up this weekend. Why don't you tell the people where they can possibly see you do your thing?
Yes. I will be announcing for Cactus League Wrestling right here in Arizona. On Friday night, we have our Rated R Wrestling Show at The Rock. Rated R means there's no fucks given. Bar wrestling at its finest. On Saturday, we are going to be in Tempe, Arizona, at Sun Studios of Tempe for Battle of Arizona in Phoenix. And then on Sunday, we will be back here in Tucson at the VFW Battle of Arizona Phoenix on Saturday, and Battle of Arizona on Tucson on Sunday. Sorry.
It's okay. You're good.
Oh, gosh. That was terrible.
No, it was great. It was 14.
It was great. No, let's go again. Friday night, Rated R Wrestling in Tucson.
At?
Saturday night. At The Rock. Saturday night, Phoenix. Sun Studios of Tempe, Battle of Arizona, Phoenix. And then Sunday, Battle of Arizona, Tucson at the VFW. This is December 6th, 7th, and 8th. You can go on social media to follow Cactus League Wrestling, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and you can also go to cactusleaguewrestling.net.
There you go. And you can follow Miranda at the hashtag Miranda on the Instagram. I'm sure she'll share some information about it there as well. And yeah, come on out and say hi and let her know. Let her know you want to pre-order your Queen of Soft Style t-shirt.
Yeah.
Which is
what you could do with your pre-orders, because I can't even pre-order.
No, it's not even a thing. Yeah. But we'll get it up there. as soon as we
but
can.
But I will remind you, or I will make sure to post on my social media when the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt is going to be available on prowrestlingtees.com.
You don't even have the finished. You don't even have the finished version.
I don't have the finished version.
No, I got to send you the finished version.
Just a little thing.
Yeah, the finished version is we made a couple of adjustments to the one that you saw.
Well, I need to see the finished version.
You will. We'll do that momentarily. So there you go. So pick that up. It is there. We got a couple more chair shot themed, personality themed shirts coming up that I've promised. We did the hashtag journalism, which was thanks to the fine folks over at The Outsider's Edge. They like to do hashtag journalism. You can pick up your hashtag journalism shirt there as well. Now you've got the Queen of Soft Style shirt that was mentioned and then backburnered for a while and then brought up as a surprise today. And there'll be a couple other ones that are coming out soon that I don't want to spoil as well for different personalities at your favorite website.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
But again, follow Miranda at the hashtag Miranda on all, well, not all of your forms of social media, just Facebook and Instagram, because she don't need no Twitter. Twitter needs her. Nope. She don't need Twitter. And somebody after last week's shit show, someone actually replied to the tweet about it saying, and obviously they listened, they were like, you need to tell Miranda to get on Twitter. And I just replied with the Dean Ambrose nope gif, like, she's not doing it. I'm not going to advocate for anybody to join any form of social media right now. Like, I'm the one who's not been on there and had to move.
Yeah, that's true. Like, this is a new frontier for Greg. Like, your social media presence has...
What social media presence? And I'm happier and better. I had to move people to text message just so that I wouldn't even be on Messenger as much. Moving the guests from this week to next week, I was an hour behind on that information because it was a Messenger message, and I don't get notifications from that anymore because I'm living my life and I'm loving every single second of it that way. So there we go. But you can follow my accounts now that I just completely buried social media. You can follow me on it at ChairShotGreg on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I do jump on there occasionally. I try to get on there at night. Mainly to support my friends, but I still go on there and you know, do reply to messages eventually. If you send me a message, I will get it. I will reply. You can even email me. You can email Greg DeMarco at thechairshot.com and I will reply to you as well. That's Greg DeMarco at
thechairshot.com.
That's right. And you can just jump right in there and I will reply to your email. That's it though. Nothing really, nothing else to promote, nothing else to talk about. I mean, shit show 4. It's in the books.
In the books.
In the books. 1 hour and 22 minutes that you will never get back. And you don't want it back because it was amazing.
Nope.
You know it was amazing.
Your life is better for it. You're welcome.
That's right. So before we go, can you just tell the people how good your t-shirt design in Revelation was?
Better than Baby Yoda.
It's bigger than ever. Stronger than ever. Forever. Lock and loaded. Yo loaded. Show loaded.
Show. Yo and Rocket. We about to make Roppongi 3K. Transform and Optimus so proper, like bigger than Gundam bodies. So soccer like showing yo, they hit the room. The crowd blacked out. Can you feel the boom? Causing more chaos in a typhoon. Future.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.